What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, Episode 12, Life Outside the Training Room, for Wednesday, February 15th, 2011. Real quick, I want to introduce the people that are here. Of course, there's me, Jackson.
And it's Bill Doc.
Bill Doc Hale. We have Mr. Chad Barrett. Chad, if you'll say hello.
Good morning.
We have Brian.
Hello.
Mariah.
Hello.
Elda.
Hello.
Anna.
Hi.
And Alondra is over taking pictures and video, so she's here with us. We got a couple kids absent. But okay, so typically we do the warm-up when it's just me and Bill, but we decided to do the whole show here with everybody present. So if you have any comments, questions, or anything like that, chime in. If not, then just sit back and relax. So real quick in the recent news, Don Stuckey, the athletic trainer at Rice University, emailed me about a athletic training workshop that they want to do for their sports medicine program as a fundraiser. And so she was really just kind of getting a feel for if this is something people would be interested in and stuff like that. And so for me, it was really cool because I felt important because she was contacting me first to see, you know, hey, is this something that you guys might be interested in, that kind of thing. So, you know, we're moving up in the world. I'm not the last to know anymore. You know, on this one thing, I was maybe one of the first to know. So if you want to find out more, I think they're doing kinesio taping. You can contact Don Stuckey, but she'll be our guest next week, and I'm sure she'll mention it.
So, probably. She probably will.
Probably?
Yeah, I hope so.
So, again, it'll be a professional development or CEU opportunity at Rice, I'm sure. It'll be sometime in late May, but they haven't finalized all the details yet. So
that'll be interesting because I'm kind of intrigued by that type of taping. I'm not. It's a little new and I don't know anything about it, so be intrigued about. Might be something interesting.
Yep. It's one of those things where it's new and it's kind of a fad, and so I'm interested in learning because I always want to learn more, but, you know, whatever. We'll see. All right, so last Monday before I took off to TCEA, I was the special guest speaker, the listener spotlight on the Tightwad Tech. You can find them at elementop.com, but I got a chance to talk about and kind of promote the Sports Medicine Broadcast on another podcast, and they have quite a few more listeners than we do at this time. But, you know, so it was fun for me to be able to share and talk, and those guys are where I learned most of what I know, and so they got to encourage and coach me up a little bit more. So I learned a couple of things about the podcast we're doing and hopefully can make it better. So just a little bit more recent news. And Sarah just walked in, so she's putting on her headphones and mic. Sarah, say hello.
Hello.
All right, fantastic. Sarah, can you see this screen? Okay, well, yeah, Doc will move his around so you can see. All right, a little bit of update from about the app. I've been working on it, and so Facebook, I think I finally figured it out because I had to create the name or the domain. It's just PHS Athletic Training. So you can go to facebook.com/PHS Athletic Training, and then that's our Facebook fan page. And so I think I got Twitter and Facebook working. On the app, you might have to connect or log in, but if it's your cell phone, you're probably connected or logged in anyways. Live Album actually allows you to, if someone was to take a picture with their phone right now, they could upload it to the Live Album on the PHS Athletic Trainer fan page, and then go from there. So check it out. Let me know if it's working. Email me. I think all the contact information is on there.
Sounds cool.
Anything
else? I like all that stuff. Yeah.
Then I finally got in a Android device so that I can test it out here instead of having to hog my wife's phone when I get home. So.
And we're getting all this technology, yeah. Updating everything, so.
All right, so the topic of our deal today is life outside the training room. And I recently came across an article that was talking about the difference that Major League Baseball athletic trainers are trying to establish between athletic trainers and personal trainers, especially with the whole recent, Barry Bonds incident and Roger Clemens, where they're, you know, their personal trainer was giving them steroids and this kind of thing. And, you know, athletic trainers don't do that because we're interested in the health and the wellness and the, I don't know.
And we're governed over licenses and certifications and restrictions more than the personal trainers are.
Yeah. And so, the article is pretty cool. I don't know if there's a short link to it. I have the long link. I can try and throw it in there in the on the.
Yeah, I want to see you try that one. Go ahead.
I can read it, but you wouldn't be able to catch it anyway. Yeah. So. But again, just reiterating the difference between athletic trainer and personal trainer or any other type of physical trainer.
Maybe Jeremy will post that on the podcast when it's completed, and it'll be on a little subscript underneath the podcast.
I'll try. Okay, so getting to what's Chad's just over there smiling. He's a little nervous. He's done TV, but never radio interviews. So
chime in whenever
you
want.
I don't want to say anything inappropriate. Y'all are doing a great job.
We're doing inappropriate stuff here. So
okay, so real quick about athletic trainers, just some of the things that we've come up with, all the different opportunities, arenas to work. There's a ton of places to work as an athletic trainer. For example, there's a sports, which is obvious. Athletic trainers, typically, anytime there's a sports team, you're going to have some athletic trainer. There's professional, college, high school, contract for events, so basketball, volleyball, soccer tournaments, lacrosse. You know, we get emails on the listserv from SWATA about wrestling and, all these other
stuff. Yeah, we just got one the other day for private schools having a combined for seventh graders through juniors. And, of course, I'm working, so I couldn't volunteer. So
$25 an hour makes good stuff.
Yeah, but I have to work. So, it's kind of hard to do it when you're already working and already have a job requirement. So.
And then I know there was one about San Jack Junior College was wanting help for their men's or their women's softball team or something.
Yeah, something. I don't remember what it was.
Anyways, so obviously sports are an area we can work. Clinics, a lot of athletic trainers will work in the clinic similar to a physical therapist role where they'll kind of manage rehab. They're not the exact same as physical therapists because we have similar but not identical trainings. And license and certifications and stuff like that. Or you can work in a combination of athletic training room and
contract out, yeah.
So where talked about, she'll work in the clinic some, mostly.
And then the Clear Creek schools contract out with St. John's. So
yep.
I think LaPorte does the same thing. I think Deer Park does too.
Yeah. So, that's pretty common, and I don't know about other states, but they do. I know that Texas is probably one of the bigger states for athletic trainers. So,
of course, isn't that true, Jack?
Yes, sir.
He's shaking his head. On radio, shaking his head.
I responded.
So then there's non-traditional sports like NASCAR, rodeo, ballet, Olympics, senior Olympics, Ironman triathlon or marathons, those kind of things.
You had some experience with
Olympics too.
Senior Olympics, so.
Yeah, Special Olympics.
I've worked that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, this past summer.
What, checkers or something that you had to work?
No, I was working senior softball, so.
I was just kidding.
Oh, you could work checkers?
I was just kidding, yeah.
They did have, shuffleboard or something like that was one of the sports. But
what are Special Olympics?
For
special
people that
needs
are
population.
Better, yeah.
The special needs kids and adults.
So, handicap.
They have wheelchair things, people that have lost, the use of their limbs or if they're mentally incapacitated or some type of something.
Okay, that's interesting.
It's fun to work, too. You can volunteer. They're always looking for volunteers to hand
out
water to set up.
Deer Park has one where it's
a
Field of Dreams and stuff like that for.
People this age, like high school kids, can volunteer?
Yeah, the student trainers can volunteer. I did that
for Special Olympics, yeah.
For Special Olympics to help.
Yeah.
That seems cool. I would do that.
There you go. Got to coach them up on talking into the microphone.
Yeah.
So, all right. So maybe we can find out more from Chad later about how to get a hold of those people and get involved with the
Dolores
Olympics.
Whiteside. That's it. Dolores Whiteside. They used to work at Pasadena. She's in charge over the.
Well, I can't be putting her information out without her consent. So I'll have to talk to her and then get that. So.
But I was just commenting. So.
Well, that's good. I didn't even know that student trainers could volunteer at those things. I don't
know
why.
They need lots of volunteers to pull that big event off because it's a big track and field day. And they have all kinds of festivities and games and food. And it's like a carnival setting except the games are the kids doing their competitions.
And that's usually the our school district and the city, right?
Yes, sir.
For here, yeah. But they're also throughout the area and state and whatever. Continue on. Go ahead, Jeremy.
No, good. I mean, this is what this is about, a conversation. Already I've gone away with more than I came in with, so.
I mean, we can add on that there's other trainers in the area, like your, companies and your fitness centers and, you know, all the different plants. And then you got trainers that work in sales that move on and work in sales and selling medical equipment and things like that. So,
yeah, I think one of the strangest places that I saw that athletic trainers work at is like chemical plants or fitness plants. I think they help prevent injuries or, you know, reduce the cost of the employees having to go to the doctor. They go to the athletic trainer or sometimes a physical therapist that works for the chemical plant to help prevent the injury. So, or reduce, you know, fatigue or those things from sitting at the desk for a long time. So,
I know, like out at Exxon in Baytown, they have a whole facility where they play sports and they have interleague play that they're playing with each other. And so you have sports injuries even in a plant, you know, just for the recreational side for the guys that are associated with the plant.
Do you know if they have to have like an athletic trainer there or they just...
I don't know if they do anymore. I know a couple of the guys that are out there that were former athletes of mine and they've gotten EMT license and safety inspection, things like that, and they work with that. I don't know if Exxon ever hired a LAT to work out there per se, but I know that some have.
All right. So maybe that'll be what Sarah researches. That'll be your homework. All right, Sarah, you got that? Write that down.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we've gone through just a short list, maybe kind of a long list, of places athletic trainers work. But there's quite a few people that I know that have gone on after the training room, but they still maintain their athletic training license, which would bring us to our very special guest, Mr. Chad Barrett. He's joining us today, as you've heard several times. He is an assistant principal over at Dobie High School, which is the high school I graduated from. And so he's in Pasadena ISD. He's been here for...
This is my 10th year.
10th year in Pasadena ISD?
Yes, sir.
How long have you been an athletic trainer?
I've been an athletic trainer professional for... This is my 20th year.
20th year as a professional athletic trainer.
Yes, sir.
And we didn't get a chance to see if there's anything else you want to mention. I know, Chad, you're married. You have a wonderful wife, and you have kids?
I have two boys.
One
is 16, Bryce, and one that is 13. His name is Zachary.
Bryce and Zachary?
They attend Hardin High School and Hardin Junior High back in Hardin, Texas, where I live.
Yep. So Chad drives quite a bit every day to get to Dobie,
wow.
But he says he's got a nice spot of land out there, so he's loving it. Okay.
So where is that exactly?
It's north of Liberty.
North of Liberty?
About 10 miles north of Liberty. And Liberty is halfway between Beaumont and Houston on Highway 90.
Highway 90. So you come 90 down to the Beltway?
Yes. 90 down to 610. They're by the Budweiser plant, and then just come that way.
Oh, you come that way.
610 to 45 south to Dobie.
That's a good drive.
Yes.
My uncle lives in Liberty.
What's his name?
Albert.
Albert?
Oh, yeah, Albert, my bad.
What's Albert, my bad's last name?
Jono.
Okay, I don't know Albert Jono. I'll look him up, though. Maybe we'll meet at Walmart. That's a hangout for people in Liberty. That or the Sonic during happy hour.
He goes to Sonic a lot, because he has a dog and he'll go take it and give it ice cream. So, yeah.
I'll be looking for him.
So if you see a man giving a dog ice cream, we know that's him.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. So now to... Sorry, I had to go get a laundry. She was looking at herself in the mirror again. What happens when you're in a room full of mirrors and you got high school girls? So, all right. Mr. Barrett, if you will, can you give us a short version of your background, where you're from, those kind of things? Obviously, we talked about you live currently in Liberty and you've been 10 years in PISD, but.
I originally was born and raised there in Hardin and went to Hardin High School, graduated there long before y'all were ever thought of, the kids in here, and was a student trainer. Through my high school year, we did not have an athletic trainer. We had a coach, And he sent me to the Kramer workshops in the summertime. I went up to hear Cash Birdwell and T. Ross Bailey back in the early 80s. That was my first trainer workshop where they really taught me how to tape. Then I went to another camp there at SFA with Sandy Miller back in the mid-80s. And then I thought I had arrived. So I was the trainer at Hardin High School. We found an old Richmar machine back in the back, and I ordered from Richmar a book, so I learned how to operate the EGS ultrasound combo machine, me and a coach, and we went to practicing. Actually, we weren't supposed to do all that. I didn't know all that at the time, but that's what we did. And I got into sports medicine pretty heavy. I decided to take that as a career and went to Lamar University in Beaumont, Texas, and worked for a wonderful man named Paul Zeke, who is now retired, living in Bernie, Texas, and worked for him for a number of years. And when he moved up out of the athletic training room into assistant athletic director there at the college, I became the head athletic trainer at Lamar University. I stayed there for 7 years, and then I went and worked for my father-in-law back at Hardin Junior High teaching math, and was the official head athletic trainer there at Hardin High School then, and did that for 3 years. Then I got a phone call one day from a guy over at a school named Adobe. I didn't know what Adobe was or where it was, but he was a former student trainer of mine from back at Lamar's days. His name was Chad Jones. He said, my assistant is left on maternity leave, and I need someone to come fill in for her. So I went over there and visited with him. We met at the IHOP in Baytown, and he offered me a job, and he pushed some numbers across to me, and that got my attention, and I came to Adobe and have not left. Chad left and went to Pearland. He's the head trainer there now, and I stayed on at Adobe for 5 years as athletic trainer, working there in the sports medicine department with our student trainers that I'm sure some of y'all are familiar with, Adobe sports medicine team, and got to meet all these wonderful guys. I don't think Jeremy was there yet, but Doc has been around since I've been here, and long before that from what I understand, and fell in love with Pasadena ISD and Adobe High School. The opportunity presented itself 5 years later for me to make a career advancement, they called it. Didn't know exactly what that entailed, but I became an assistant principal. They had an opening there. I applied for it and was asked to join the assistant principalship there at Adobe High School as well. So I've been doing that now for 5 years. I am still involved with the athletics and helping the teams, the sports medicine, the student trainers of the district, and especially at Adobe with different things.
All right. So,
wow, that's cool.
Yeah, that's quite a detailed history. So,
yeah, I just got a couple of things to say. I'd say ditto on those Kramer workshops, because I went to two of them when I was a teenager, and except mine was, you know, 15 years before that, I think, or 10 years before yours. So, but yeah, but what college was the first one you went to?
It was held at TCU.
At TCU, with Ross Bailey's school.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I won a case of tape.
You won a case of tape?
I won a case of tape.
I saw a kid in mine get Eddie Lane threw a chalk at a kid sitting in the very back. He was leaning up. He was asleep. And he hit him right on the forehead, woke him up. So, and Eddie Lane was my high school trainer, so, because he came to Dallas and worked
Hall
in Dallas.
Hall of Famer.
So, yep.
All right, so now Sarah's
got a question.
What are some of the things you learned as an athletic trainer?
Well, the first thing I had to learn was how to tape and how to treat injuries. First aid, that was the big thing. This was before I got involved with the American Red Cross and learning all those things that y'all get exposed to on a regular basis. So I had to kind of hit and miss and learn when to put ice and when to put heat and how to keep from getting blisters to people and how to treat different types of injuries, especially when you didn't have an athletic trainer and you just had a coach. I remember one particular coach, for example, if you came in with a blister, he'd take a pair of scissors and cut your blister off and spray it with Nitrotan.
Yeah, I remember that.
Sounds like it hurts.
It hurt very bad. They'd scream.
Did you get CPR certified at the workshop or before then, or were you at all during high school?
No, it wasn't until college that I'd ever even learned CPR.
Yeah, I guess it just wasn't as big of a deal even before I got to high school, I think it may have been my sophomore year that everybody got certified. I don't know. Maybe it was my freshman year.
And there was no such thing as an AED back in that day.
Right. Only in the hospital.
You just see it on the TV show.
Yeah.
You saw with the EMTs going, rubbing that cream together and they jump. Clear.
Boom. Yeah. Remember the TV show Emergency back in the... Yeah, that was...
Yeah. I remember the old one, if you want to go back and talk about the one...
I remember.
What was it? The one with the paramedics. What was it called? I can't remember.
That was Emergency. That's the one I'm thinking.
Is Emergency? The one with the guys...
The old red Emergency?
Yeah, they looked like a truck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Old Emergency.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Okay. Well, I'm old enough to remember that.
So we know you went to Lamar University. Did you go to graduate school?
Yes, sir. I went to graduate school, and I was a GA for the athletic department during that time. And that's how I kind of got this gig with the
assistant. So all of it was at Lamar?
Yes, sir.
Gotcha. So Sarah has the next question.
Would you recommend student athletic trainers to attend your alma mater?
Yes, definitely. Or... if not my alma mater, any of the colleges and universities around, they have great athletic training programs, and they definitely need people. I know I was visiting with the Lamar trainer at GHATS, and he had graduated a bunch of his student trainers, and he is in desperate need of student trainers. So if any of y'all are seniors, contact Josh Yonker over at Lamar. He's a great guy.
These are freshmen and sophomore, but you never know who's listening.
That's right.
Cool.
So, yeah, when we went to GHATS, I would talk to a lot of the athletic trainers there and got a lot of contact information. So maybe I'll have to get Josh to come on one day, either Skype or in person, and kind of sell us on Lamar University. So,
well,
they got the football team now, and they've got brand new facilities. The athletic training room is state of the art.
Yeah, they are starting football. Yeah.
Nice.
Brian? Okay. Brian's next.
Can you describe your work environment as an athletic trainer?
At the high school?
Yes.
Okay. Every high school that I've worked at, I've tried to have a work environment that, in my mind, models a healthcare facility, because in my mind, the athletic training room is the healthcare facility for the school that I'm working for. So with that in mind, we try to present that way. We keep it clean. We worked hard at presenting that to the athlete so that when the athlete walked in or a coach walked in, they realize this isn't the stinky, nasty, funky locker room. The second thing I'd always do is try to have an environment where they felt like it was safe to approach, to come in, that they were welcome with their problems, with their concerns. I wanted to make sure that we had it all presentable, where that they could come in and be taken care of, you know, and that we are ready for their emergency, or we are ready for taping, people ready for practice, or that we have them set up for their rehabilitation or whatever their need may be for that day. So with that approach in mind, that's how we and the student trainers addressed each and every day. We had checklists. We had a procedure that we followed, and then everybody knew what the duties were and what the different things were in the training room so that they could help out if needed.
I think we could definitely learn from that. Yeah. I know we had to have like a checklist, and we had to assign certain people to certain duties, or everybody would assume that, you know, somebody else did it. Oh, well, yeah, I thought she was doing it. I thought he was doing it. So checklists are with assigned responsibilities are definitely a good idea. So... well, that being said, I know that you are now an assistant principal, even though you still maintain your license.
Yes, sir. That's my day job.
Sir?
That's my day job.
That's your day job. Yeah, and I know there's lots of times where you've helped out covering some of the sports and stuff. So Alondra has another question for you.
How has your environment, job, or hours changed since switching jobs?
An assistant principal basically is responsible for the care of the kids during the school day. Now, as in Pasadena ISD, but we have several on our campus, so we rotate and have different duties that we would cover. Like, for example, during basketball season, as an administrator, I was in charge of one night. So I got to cover one game for the boys' team, one game for the girls' team. Baseball, I cover one game, and softball, I cover one game. So that being said, a lot of times, you know, we are through. You know, when the kids get on the bus, we go back to the office and we kind of just finish up any paperwork details, anything that needs to be addressed. And so the hours, to answer your question, are a lot shorter. They are very intense at times as an assistant principal, as y'all can imagine if you've seen some of the things that happen on your campus, where whether it's a fight or drugs or somebody stole my iPod or, you know, he's mean mugging me or this teacher called me a name or whatever. And we deal with those type of problems too. You know, in the athletic training room, you know, we have long hours, and I even designed a shirt one time that we have no off season. You know, we're always in season from way back in June, July, all the way back around until spring football is done. So that has been the biggest difference as far as switching jobs goes for me. The relationships also is another thing that I would say is remarkably different. As an assistant principal, you got to be mean and stern and enforce the rules. You don't get to develop the relationship that you would normally as an athletic trainer. I enjoyed my athletes. I love my student trainers. I still are in contact with some of them 20 years later. I got a call from a boy that was a student trainer of mine in the early 90s. He just got a superintendent job up in Arkansas. He just wanted to call and share that with me. I don't get that many phone calls from kids that I have gotten in. Put in the ISC or send them to the guidance center or anything like that. You know, hey, Mr. Barrett, I'm out of the summit and doing wonderful. No, they don't do that much anymore. So that's a different aspect too that I had to adjust to.
All right. You have a question?
Yeah. If you could pick another career, would you?
I've always wondered what if. I remember back when I was about to finish up my undergraduate work and start my graduate work at the university. My grandfather, who was getting on in years, was an entrepreneur, and he had started his own upholstery business there in Liberty. And he asked me if I would be interested in taking over the business. And I always wondered what would have happened if I had put up those pair of scissors and picked up his. And what would my life have been like? You know, how would it have been different? You know, you always wonder how things would be. But I think I'm where I'm supposed to be for a reason, that I have a skill set that makes me successful at what I do, and I've really enjoyed it. Would I do some of the things different? Yeah, but that's part of learning and growing up.
Could you tell us about an injury that you remember, a really bad one?
A really bad one?
Yes.
You want to get sick at your stomach?
Yeah, they always like the horror stories, so.
I know they love the horror stories.
Before lunch.
I saw that question earlier, and I was thinking about some of the bad ones I've seen. Probably the worst one as far as what just really upset me was I had a first baseman that was probably going to be drafted, or he was really good at the university in Beaumont. And one day we were playing a baseball game, and they were during warm-up between innings. And the second baseman, or the shortstop and third baseman, I can't remember which one, but two of those guys threw him a ball at the same time. And he caught both of them, one in his glove and one right here in his eyeball. Mm. And it knocked his eyeball down inside his skull and fractured his whole face.
Oh, my God.
And to see your good-looking young first baseman with a lot of life ahead of him come over and you can't see his eyeball and his face is all sunk in it, that's kind of sickening. Oh. And he had to have hours of surgery to reconstruct his face, and he missed the season. And he really never was able to make a contact, you know, comeback. To the extent that he was before. Because, you know, you use your eyes a lot when you're playing baseball and trying to do your depth perception and swing a bat and things like that. So that one, to me, stands out the most.
And then it's, like, not only the injury, it's his whole future that got changed because of that injury.
Yeah. We had a senior that was drafted to go to the NFL, and one of his last senior games, he blew out his knee, tore his ACL. And back in the 80s, ACL surgery isn't what it is today, and that ended his career. And having to deal with that was tough. That was tough.
Isn't it great that medicine advanced over the years?
Yes, definitely.
The advancements are great. I remember my first knee surgery I saw. That was when they opened you up from the mid of your thigh all the way down on both sides, and they just opened the knee completely open. And then you had to be in a cast-like thing for forever, seemed like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's people that still have that big old long scar.
Mm-hmm.
I have a buddy that, when we were in high school, tore his ACL and had that surgery. And his was only from, I don't know, his was probably a 6-inch incision. But, I mean, he has a 6-inch line down the middle of his leg where they had to cut open and the staple marks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now it's like 3 holes and they're done.
Yeah, the old days when they did the ACLs, when you had to did that, you had to sit there and help break all that scar tissue in their knee and everything. It's a lot harder work in rehab than it is now. So right now you can almost turn them loose and give them their rehab and get busy.
Yep.
All right, so I'm going to ask you this, and then we'll kind of come back to it. So I want to get a pros and cons list of your new job versus a full-time athletic trainer. I know you gave us a couple of different things about the relationships, but we're going to come back to that so you can kind of be thinking about it, you know, while you're answering all these other questions. I think Elda has another question. Just real quick, let me preface this. Mr. Barrett usually will drive the bus for us. He's bus driver certified. I know.
Yeah, I was wondering why you didn't call him, you know.
Well, because I skipped over that. I just missed it because I went from one part to the other.
Thank you.
Without missing it. So just so Bill feels fulfilled, it's Chad Bus Driver Barrett. That was my little nickname I like to throw in there for him.
Everybody gets a little nickname, so.
Yeah, but he's much more than that, obviously. So he'll typically drive the bus for us to GHADS, and, you know, that's obviously helped us out. And he's driven it on field trips and that kind of thing, always looking to help out the athletic trainers and, you know, when applicable to other teams or whatever at school. So that being said, Elda has a real quick question.
Do you feel safer driving a bus yourself than allowing someone else to drive it?
It depends on who the other person is driving. You know, if they can't drive very well, and I've seen them drive, then yeah, because, you know, knock on wood, I haven't had a wreck in a school bus, and I pray that I never do. Just give you a little premise about the school bus thing, because these guys don't even know this story. When I left Lamar to go to Hardin, one of the things they wanted their coaches to do was they are the substitute bus drivers. Well, in the coach's mind, who is the most expendable person on the field, them or the athletic trainer? So
back
I got.
And it was the athletic.
Yeah,
trainer.
They said you go get your bus driver's license. So my AD told me to get my bus driver's license, and I did. And practically 3-4 days of the week, I was the substitute bus driver in a little rural school district, which they don't have paved roads or good roads or lighted roads or curbed roads. And I learned how to drive a school bus in all kinds of weather. I ran over trees, ran over mailboxes, ran off the road.
I think there's
stuck.
A video game like that.
Yeah. And that's how I learned how to drive a school bus. And so, you know, those bus drivers are petrified to drive over in Houston. So whenever they had a field trip to Houston, I got to drive the bus from Hardin to Houston. So I became very familiar with how the buses turn and things like that. I've kept my bus driver's license over the years just for the sake that if a group on campus needs to go somewhere, that I'm available and can take them, and that gives me an excuse to leave for the day and still get paid.
Yeah, I like that one.
You gonna go get your bus driving license, Doc?
I'm actually planning on it. I would love to do it this summer, but with us expecting a child in the middle of the summer, I don't think I can swing being.
It takes a while.
Yeah, driving times at night, so maybe I can get it done in the spring. I don't know. But I really want to so that I, at the same time, like Chad was saying, I can take our kids on field trips without having to pay a bus driver or, you know, get a coach out of class and that kind of thing. Usually they don't mind taking a day off to drive a bus for a field trip. But
and we have some pretty cool field trips.
Yeah. I know we had the Texas Chiropractic College, and they've offered to let us come over and see their anatomy lab and kind of what they do over there. So we'd like to go over there, but, again, it's a matter of getting the bus and all that other stuff and working it into the schedule. So
I took a group of HOSA kids last year to the cadaver lab at UT downtown at the Med Center,
mm-hmm.
and we got to work on dead people. That was really fun.
Like they got to cut it and stuff like
that? Cut on, not really cut, but you could examine and hold different organs and play with the cadaver and move it. And
How many of them kids actually handled the smell?
They did really well. I was surprised.
My wife went when she was working with co-op. She used the trick of putting Vicks in the nose. Mm-hmm. Keeps it from smelling the...
It doesn't smell like dead. It smells like formaldehyde. The biology lab when you work on your cats or pigs. And I don't know what y'all dissect now. We dissected cats and pigs.
Frogs. That's frogs. What we did when I was frogs. Teaching. Frogs, sometimes worms, it's stuff like cool. that.
We did a cow eye in
yeah, last
seventh
year.
Grade.
The cow eye
in
the,
grade.
Yeah, those yeah. are cool.
No,
remember that smell? That's what the cadaver lab smells like.
All right. Anything else? Any more comments? Yeah.
Was it weird for you? Was it weird for you from going to changing your jobs from a trainer to a principal assistant?
Assistant principal.
At the same school.
The same school. It took some adjustment. I won't say weird, but I say it took adjustment because the athletes still looked at me as Mr. B, and I still had that role that I could play after school and help, and I still do. But then the other kids didn't know me as an athletic trainer, so to them it's just another jerk of an AP that's going to have to, you know, I have to watch out for. Oh, here comes AP, let's run and hide or whatever. Y'all know how kids do. I mean, they see you coming, they run 90 to nothing the other direction, and that's still the same. So, but for me personally, yeah, I had to realize that I'm changing hats because I'm wearing a tie now. And
not a short.
I used to dress just like these guys. And it took a lot of getting used to wearing a tie. This is the first year I've actually started wearing more sleeves. Usually I was a short sleeve guy. But all the other assistant principals fuss at me because I'm not wearing long sleeve shirts. So I've tried to start wearing that a little more. So it's just been a personal adjustment more so than the district. Now, the coaches had a different perspective because now I'm no longer the athletic trainer. Now I'm their boss. And that took a little adjustment. To get
on evaluating.
Yeah, and then evaluating them too.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. So you remember all them times, Coach? Yeah, I got you here. Just kidding.
All right, sorry. I was using our little mobile device to take some pictures that I'm going to try and post to the live album on the app. So that's what I'm going to attempt to do. So I was trying to take those pictures. So. All right, so let's get back to the top five. What are the top five pros of being an assistant principal?
The pros of being an assistant principal is that, one, the hours are a lot better. Two, the pay is better, which that's important. Three, it gives you more options to be able to enhance your career if depending on what your goal is. Like for me, example, if I want to be a principal, associate superintendent, or superintendent one day, that was a route I had to go. You're not going to go from an athletic trainer to the superintendent of the school. So if you have aspirations in administration, things like that, that would be an option you need to go to. Other pros, you get to really have a say-so on the campus for things that you see needing improvement. I know as an athletic trainer, I heard a lot of complaints and saw a lot of things that that we could do better. And then in my role now, I can go help make it better. I help my athletic trainers in my sports medicine program. You know, I'm an advocate for them. So I know what they're going through. I know what my coaches are feeling and experiencing. And so I can bring that view to the administrative team whenever we have to make decisions as a campus, to keep them in mind and keep their better interest in mind and what an athlete's feeling and what their perspective is on it, and be able to promote the importance of athletics, you know, because we're in this time of budget cuts where they're wanting to cut programs and slash that and just make y'all go straight to school. Well, there's more to school to me than just, you know, 2 + 2 and algebra and English, and don't kill me, teachers, for saying that, but the kids need to get involved.
Or TEA.
Yeah, or TEA. and I think there's a lot to be said for that. So that to me has been a pro, that I'm able to take y'all's voice out there to where it's not normally been heard. That's four. I don't know what a fifth one would be. Is that good enough?
That's good enough. All right, so what would be your top five pros for being an athletic trainer, full-time athletic trainer?
Oh, that's fun, because you get to work with the best kids in the world. You get to work with athletes. You get to stay young at heart, even though your body's getting old. You get to work with great people like y'all on the sports medicine teams and student trainers that have the whole world ahead of them and be able to help shape lives. I really enjoyed that time. I really enjoyed the relationships I built with my athletes, my coaches, and my student trainers. I love the contest. I love the competition. God didn't give me a body that could be very good at sports, but he gave me a brain that's very good at sports medicine. And I was able to contribute that way, and I was able to celebrate with my teams whenever they were successful, even if it was just a personal victory. because to me, I didn't want the recognition, but I love it when my kids get the recognition, when they win, when we get a championship, when we get a ring, when we get to go to Austin, or when you go to college, when you get to be a champion or a national champion. You know, I've known some of those teams. That's been a fun thing. Those to me are the biggest things about athletic trainer, and that's why I've kept my license. You know, a lot of people that move out into the dark side, as Bubba Wilson likes to call it, is they just let it go. But I've kept my license because I still want that part. And, you know, after my kids get grown, after I make my TRS money that I need to have to retire, who knows, I may put on a pair of shorts again and just go out there and work on my tan some more.
Work on your, yeah, your trainer's tan. A sock line, short line, t-shirt right. line.
Hey, you can contract out. Mm-hmm. Have your own little business.
There we go.
Yeah, I think the relationship part, I've said before, you know, I did the internship with the Texans, but one of the things I realized was that you don't really build the relationships with those people, you know, as they're adults, and, you know, they're easily switching from one city to the next, you know, even halfway through the year. But here with the high school kids, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago, we had one of the past student trainers come up and visit for a couple hours, and, you know, several times throughout the year, we've had student trainers come up and visit and, you know, just talk to us, or, you know, even on the Facebook, they, you know, make a lot of comments on the pictures and upload their own pictures from when they were student trainers in high school. And so I think that probably is the most rewarding part is the relationships that you get to build with these kids. And even these kids that are sitting right here as part of our show, I know details about their lives, not every detail, obviously, but, you know, I know who they are. I know what, you know, things they're interested in. And that's one of the, like I said, the best parts about this job.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree too. I agree a big time on that one. I've got many years of kids that before it was more like, you know, kind of like a teacher type thing, but now it's more like, you know, I get the, I guess because of my age and everything, I get called dad all the time now more than doc. So it's sometimes I can understand how they get in your life and, you know, then when they leave, they come back and, you know, visit, but sometimes they don't. So it's almost like they go away, and it's almost like kids, you throw them out and they're gone. But,
you know, I've really enjoyed Facebook and be able to get back in touch with them.
Yeah, that's the only reason I went back on Facebook.
And be able just to see what's going on in their lives and what their kids are doing and the grief that their kids are causing them compared to what they caused us or whatever. And it's been fun. It's been a blast for me.
All right. So that more or less brings us, we're about to have to let the kids go to lunch as Brian's over there eating his fingernails. So, Mr. Barrett, are there any parting thoughts? Sometimes they have, you know, words about burnout, or, you know, just a word of encouragement for the students or for any listeners. So do you have any final parting thoughts for us?
I just would like to say that for you guys, especially student trainers here in this audience, you know, this is a time of your life where you get to make lots of decisions, lots of choices about what you're going to do with the rest of your life. And pursue the things that you have a passion for. Because like Jeremy was saying, that, you know, burnout is something that's out there, and people do get burnt out. But if you like what you do and you're good at what you do, you're not going to burn out. You just keep getting after it. You see the results. You see the benefits. You see that you're making a difference. And if you can make a difference in a person's life or your family's life or in your own life, then you've accomplished something. And that's what I encourage my students to do. That's what I encourage the listeners of this talk to think about and just contemplate on. Am I really pursuing that which I've been called to pursue? And if not, you know, you can change. You know, I got out of athletic training for a job just for the simple fact was I have two boys that needed more time with their daddy. I was raising a lot of people's kids, but I wasn't raising my own. That was a tough decision for me. And like I said, I've kept my athletic training license. And hopefully one day I'll get to practice it again full time. And if not, then I'll practice it part time and still be in touch with my athletes and my athletic trainers. But I thank y'all for having me today, and it's been fun. I'd love to come back anytime and shoot the breeze with y'all.
Well, right, thank you, too. So, and, of course, we want to mention the people that have supported us. And, of course, we want to thank our guest, Mr. Chad Barrett, that has always saved us money over the several years in our school district for driving our bus with our students to GHATS.
It was a pleasure.
And this past year, he had to wake up very early to get there. I mean, like 4 o'clock in the just to get the bus and meet us there. So
I had to go wake the rooster up that day.
Yeah. So we just appreciate him big time and thank him very much for being on this show.
Yep. It's always a pleasure. And I always enjoy conversations with Chad, wherever we are, GHATS or other meetings. So, okay, real quick words of wisdom. Like Chad said, he's not the spring chicken, neither is Doc. I guess heck, neither am I. I'll be 31 this year. But
wow, you're getting old.
Yeah. I know.
Almost over the hill.
Yeah.
All right. So this is what I came up with. I got it off of the internet somewhere. Our bodies may grow stiffer with passing of time, but we should not let the same happen to our minds. The older we are, the more willing we should be to listen to others, especially young people.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Ditto.
Yeah. I heard something the other day the person, a human being's mind, or they're the smartest when they're 54.
Smartest when they're 54?
Yeah.
Was that what somebody told you?
No, I was just, because I'm 54, so it was pretty cool how I just came up with that.
That's
one.
That's
But now it's going downhill after that. So. But, you know.
So what do you have to look forward to now, Doc?
Yeah, I don't know. Retirement.
Okay.
Coming up. But I just want to let everybody know they can contact us via our website, which is www.pasadenaisd.org/phs/athletic-training. You can Twitter us at PHS Sports Med. You can get on Facebook if you want to and like us at facebook.com/phs athletic-training, or you can Google Plus.
Yeah.
Us at PHS space athletic space training.
Should be able to just search at PHS athletic training.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not an expert with that yet, but I'm working on it. And then if you have to call us on the office phone, 713-740-0310, extension 01312, or you can download the app, PHS athletic training, from the Android market. Maybe one day we'll have the other iOS or whatever it is, but... For Jeremy, Doc, the students, Mr. Barrett, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.